We work in an extraordinary industry, but let's not pretend that everything's great. There are things that are broken. And in order to fix those things that are broken, we have to make sure that we're looking at things with eyes wide open and acknowledging the things that can be better. Right now, you're in the middle of a 10-episode arc all about how we fix our restaurants. Today, I want to talk about churn, right? Employee churn. We know it's huge in our industry, but it doesn't have to be. There are things we can do, steps we can take to make it better. What are those steps? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Restaurant Strategy.
There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world. Those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking.
Thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close, and this is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast dedicated to helping you build a more profitable restaurant. Each week, I leverage my 25 years in the industry to help you do just that, build a more profitable and sustainable business. I also work directly with owners and operators all over the world through my P3 Mastermind program. So this is a group coaching format geared towards restaurants that have been open for a while, that are generating a lot of revenue, but the owners struggle with profitability. I can show you how to squeeze 10, 15, 20 plus percent out of your business every single month. We do it. We've done it hundreds of times now. If this sounds interesting to you, then the best way to get started is to set up a call with me or someone from my team. You go to our website, restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule, and you grab some time on the calendar. We'll get to learn more about you and your restaurant. You'll get to learn more about the program we run, and let's see if it's a good fit. If so, we'll talk about how we move forward. Again, the way you do that is to go to restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule, and yes, you better believe it, that link is in the show notes. Now, we all know managing costs is one of the most important parts of running a profitable restaurant, especially now. Right, between fluctuating vendor prices, waste, labor, and that never-ending list of tasks that demand your attention on a daily basis, we know it can be challenging for even the most experienced operator to manage costs well. And that's where Margin Edge comes in. Margin Edge is a complete restaurant management software that automatically uses data from your POS and invoices to show you your food cost and your labor cost in real time. Don't wait until it's too late. Margin Edge gives you tools to make decisions in the moment so we can be proactive instead of reactive, right? They've got a daily P&L, price alerts on key ingredients, and real-time plate costs, all without ever having to touch a spreadsheet. Take control of your costs, work more efficiently, and be more profitable. Learn more at marginedge.com/chip, and yes, that link is also in the show notes. Okay, now, this arc of episodes we're doing, 10 episodes all about how we fix restaurants. And what I'm doing, I'm breaking down each episode basically into two parts. Number one, let's identify the problem. Let's get really clear on what needs to be fixed, right? Because that's how we know what to fix. We don't fix it if it ain't broken. And if it's broken, we got to figure out that it's broken. And then we got to put a plan into place to actually get it repaired. So this 10-episode arc that I've dubbed Fixing Restaurants, each episode focuses on a different area, different focus. First half of the episode, we talk about the problem. Second half of the episode, we talk about the solution. Because who cares if we can just talk about the stuff that's broken? We need an actionable way to fix it, and that's what we do each and every one of these episodes. So today, right on the next installment of this Fixing Restaurants arc, I want to talk about churn. Of course, we're talking about employee churn, and this is something that's a problem we've had for years and years and years, especially here in the United States, right? So in the United States, this really stems from a couple of things. Number one, first and foremost, that the service industry, hospitality, isn't always seen as a reputable career choice. It's a job you do while you're in school. It's a job you do on nights and weekends as a second job. It's a job you do during the summers to make a little extra cash. It hasn't been something you set out to do, right? Nobody sits in the second grade and says, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you say, I want to be a restaurant manager. I want to own restaurants. Very few people see that as a career path. And so first and foremost, we have to acknowledge that as sort of a problem, right? Service industry employs an insane amount of people. And most Americans, right? It's like some crazy, it's 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 people in this country, it was their first job, right? They waited tables. They bust tables. They wash dishes. My first job was folding pizza boxes in a pizza shop. So for so many of us, it is a way in. It's a way into the workforce, right? There's a very low barrier of entry, which honestly I see as extraordinary. The other thing is, if you present yourself as capable and interested, you can rise. That's certainly true with my trajectory, right? I came into the industry not really caring about the industry, and I was given opportunities because I presented myself as responsible, responsive, capable, curious, and things were put at my feet that I really shouldn't have been able to, right? I was in New York for less than 2 years when I was invited to be part of the opening team of a Michelin-starred restaurant. Like, that's insane. What other industry are you able to play in the big leagues that early on? But I was given those opportunities. Now, I rose to the occasion, but still, somebody took a chance on me. And we do. We take chances on people all the time. Somewhere along the way, though, and I think we know this, and I know there's a push and pull here, because it's difficult, because labor is one of our biggest liabilities. It's one of our biggest expenses every month. I know that. And it's becoming a bigger piece of our P&L than ever before, right? With minimum wage going up, with the tip credit being wiped away in states like California, Oregon, now Michigan, and it's coming for other states. Still, though, we are a people business. We hire people to take care of people. We simply, I think, have to do a better job of marketing ourselves to our customers, letting them know that this thing is going to be more expensive and it's worth the expense. And then number two, marketing ourselves to employees to let them know, say, it is worth, it is a career worth pursuing. There is a future here. There is longevity, right? There's opportunity here. Big part of this is that we don't do a good job marketing that, right? Another big part of this is we don't have a good way of developing talent and nurturing them to come along. So we can't blame people, right? They come in, we train them how to be a food runner, and that's it. They're a really good food runner. Rarely do we have a plan in place where we say, hey, you're a really good food runner, but I bet you the way you applied yourself to this position is the same way you'd apply yourself to other positions. And how can I train you up? How can I level you up? How can I give you other opportunities? How can I give you what you need to continue to grow within this restaurant and within this industry? And there are some places, there's some companies that do this really well, and there are a lot of companies that just don't feel like they have the bandwidth to think about this. And this is why we get churn, right? When you look at, when you zoom out and you look at why employees leave a job, right? This is not just in our industry, but across all industries. One of the biggest reasons why people leave jobs is because they don't like management, right? They don't like the people that they directly report to. And that is something we can fix. It's something that something of a mission that I'm on right now, to look at our managers, to look at the teams we have leading our teams of hourly employees, and taking ownership of that, taking responsibility for that, and saying they're just not doing a good enough job, and we're not doing a good enough job to make sure that they're doing a good enough job, right? The responsibility ultimately runs back to us. At the end of the day, churn is expensive in our restaurant. Churn keeps us on a hamster wheel, so we're always trying to find the next warm body, teach them what they need to know in order to take to be able to take tables this weekend, and able to, you know, jump behind the line this weekend. And we're not necessarily getting the best people, and we're not necessarily growing our people. Churn is huge, has massive short-term costs associated with, and long-term costs in how it hinders hinders us from being able to step out of the restaurant and really being able to pass the torch, and us not working in the restaurant but working on the restaurant like we talk about so much. Churn is a huge problem, and I know you know that, and I know churn comes from the challenges we have with our workforce because the high minimum wage and things like that. And I know churn comes from our inability, as of yet, to really develop talent. But so much of that can be fixed. And we're going to talk about that in the other half of this episode, how we fix this churn problem in our restaurants, again, after a word from another one of our sponsors. Are you a restaurant owner or maybe a restaurant manager struggling to keep your team motivated and satisfied? Well, look no further than this helpful new guide by 7Shifts, What Restaurant Employees Want, the 2024 report. So the heartbeat of any successful restaurant lies in its people. But with the chaos of day-to-day operations, I know it's easy to lose sight of what truly matters, your team's happiness, your team's fulfillment. That's why 7Shifts went straight to the source, surveying over 1,500 active restaurant employees across North America to uncover what truly fulfills them in their workplace. You want to know the secret to building a thriving team? Interested in reducing turnover? Want to boost morale? This comprehensive report by 7Shifts has the answers you need. So don't let the stress of running a restaurant overshadow the importance of your team's well-being. Visit 7shifts.com/ccreport to grab your copy of What Restaurant Employees Want, the 2024 report. Get that today. Invest in your team, invest in your success, and yes, you'll find that link in the show notes. Okay, so if we say that restaurants are broken, that there are things about the industry that are broken, by identifying them, we can then make a plan to solve them, to fix them. Churn is a big, big problem. Our people, while often seen as a liability, are also our greatest asset because we hire people to take care of our people, right? Ours is a people business. And I've said this before, right? We feed people, we employ people to help feed people. We buy from people to get the products that we need to be able to feed people. Ours is a people business. It is a relationship business. And if we took it upon ourselves to zoom out, to step out, to remove ourselves from the day-to-day chaos, I think we'd see that our people are worth supporting, are worth developing, and it would save us so much money if we could take a long-term view rather than looking at this short-term problem. The short-term problem is minimum wage is up. The short-term problem is the tip credit is being wiped away in certain states. The short-term problem is that people want to go work for other industries. They want to go work for other industries because they have more stability, security. They're taken care of more. They get paid time off. They get benefits. There are things that people need in order to pay for things, to provide for their lives. And I'll remind you, I've said this before. I'll continue to say it again. For all of us, our professional lives exist to support our personal lives, right? And hopefully there's some overlap and alignments. Hopefully what you do to make money is something you care about, something you're good at, something that sort of drives you every single day. And I think for a lot of us, that is true. I think for a lot of us though, that is not true. And I think so for the people who for whom that's not true, I hope they find what they're looking for and they find something that they really love and are really good at, so that they can do that to provide for themselves and their families. But for a whole host of people, and I know this because I am one of these people, I was one of these people, for a whole host of people, they just simply don't know that they can love this and that they can love what they do here in order to provide for themselves and their families. I've said this before, I'll continue to say it again. We have two kinds of people who work in our restaurants. Number one, the people who are dying to be there. The people who love this industry, want nothing more than to be a part of this industry. And I think then there's everyone else. That first group is really, I think, only about 20, maybe 30% of our workforce. Everyone else, this is just a means to an end. It's a way to pay their bills. It's, the people don't necessarily aspire to wash dishes. They don't aspire to be busboys. That it is a step on the way, or it is just what they are qualified to do. It's what they're capable of doing. But I think for all of those people, and again, I did this, right? I folded pizza boxes as a job during high school. I got a job waiting tables to help pay my way through college. I came to New York, I've said this, to be an actor. And what do you do in between gigs? You get a job waiting tables. That's just what you do. So you keep your days free to take class and to audition. And then at night you wait tables. And I had no great affinity for the industry. It was just a means to an end. It was a way to pay my bills. I could make a good amount of money working as little as possible so I could really focus on the other thing that I was there to do. And at a certain point, though, I realized that it didn't just have to be a means to an end. It didn't have to be the other thing I did. It could be the thing I did. And I think that's true for so many people out there. Yes, all the artists, right? The painters, the musicians, the actors, the dancers, and all that. Yep, for them. But also for just the people who are coming into the workforce and they come to restaurants because there is a low barrier of entry. That's extraordinary that we get a steady pipeline of people coming to us, right? Just from a marketing standpoint, our acquisition costs are very, very low. Costs us very little to get people in the front door. Our problem is in retention and our ability to keep people there, right? To take care of them in a way that would make them never want to leave and to support them and develop their growth in a way that they would never, never want to go. So let's talk about how we fix this problem. First and foremost, it is fixed at the hiring stage. Second, it's fixed in the training stage. And then third, it's the ongoing management, coaching, and development, how we continue to grow them into the next thing they want to do. Because again, our professional lives exist to support our personal lives. And our priorities change as we grow. Certainly the things I wanted at 20 were different than they were at 30, than they were at 40. My priorities change. My life has changed. And that's true for every single person you employ. You got to keep your finger on the pulse. You have to understand what they care about, where their priorities are, so that you can continue to support them in the ways that they now need to be supported. There was a time when I just wanted to wait tables. I wanted the flexibility that came from that. And then there was a time when I wanted to manage, and because I wanted the sort of the purpose and the development that came from that. You know, eventually then I wanted to start my own business because the flexibility that gave me and the ability to make more money and support my my family. That's me. That's my personal trajectory. But I share that because each and every one of your people has that kind of thing. Now, maybe it's not so drastic of a change as it was for me between 20, 30, and 40. But I promise you, what your people want is shifting and changing. And by keeping your finger on the pulse, you can get better at that. So that's part of that development piece. Let's go back, right? So training, right? The hiring, the training, and then the staff development. Number one, when you are hiring, you got to make sure that you're looking for good people. And I don't mean good, talented, skilled people. I mean good, warm, gracious, hospitable people. Danny Meyer always called this the 51 percenters. He said, I need people who just want to take care of people. I want nice people. I want warm people. I want gracious people. People that want to take care of other people, because you can't teach someone to care. So if I find people that care, I can teach them about the food we serve and the wine we serve and the spirits and the cocktail program. I can teach them how to serve from the left and clear from the right. I can teach them the proper way to open a bottle of wine or champagne. I can teach them the hard skills, but soft skills, the being nice, the wanting to take care of people, you can't necessarily teach that. So when you are hiring, we are in the hospitality industry. If you have a business where you want to take care of people, you got to find people who also like taking care of people. And that's not everybody. That's hard. It's hard to take the sort of abuse, to get the attitude and the talk back from certain guests and all of that. And the humility that's required to do this job and do it well is difficult to find. And yet if you can find the people who have the humility to do it, man, they're going to love, they're going to get great satisfaction out of doing this. So when you hire, look for those people. And when you post a job listing, I always talk about this turning the listing upside down. Don't talk about all the roles and responsibilities and then all the requirements that a candidate should have and then talk about what they get, right? Flip that upside down. From the beginning, lead with, this is what you get. This is why you're going to love working at this restaurant or for this company. And then say, this is some of what you're going to be responsible for. And this is what we found, right? These are the requirements for, this is how we, these are the qualities we think make the best employees. Literally, flip it upside down. Start with what they get, why they would want to be there. I'm telling you, it will make a profound difference. When you hire them, and you bring them in for training, make sure there's a plan. Make sure there's some hand-holding there. Somebody should be there on day one at the front door to shake their hands, take their things, show them where they need to go, give them everything they need, right? The training packet, all the new hire paperwork, all of that, so that they feel taken care of. So you say, I value you. I don't know you yet, but I value you enough to hire you, and I'm going to make sure you are taken care of here because we take care of our people. You'd be amazed at how far that goes, just meeting somebody at the front door and shaking their hands. guide them through the training. I've said this on past episodes, but I always like to give them a quiz at the end of every shift, every training shift, not a pop quiz, but a quiz to make sure they are coming along. By the end of day one, you should know the following things. By the end of day two, you should know the following things, and let them know in their training packet, day one is going to be about X, Y, and Z, and you should know the following things by the end. For example, you should know the address, the phone number, what's the chef's name, who's the GM, what are the table numbers, what are the seat numbers, what's our signature dish? I don't know, if you're training somebody for 5 or 6 hours, I think they can pick up those few things. And they have to know those things because on the next day, they're going to be required for more things. And on day three, more things. Tell them what you're going to expect from them, and then just check it at the end, not as a gotcha, but just as a matter of saying, I want to make sure you got this because there's going to be more stuff tomorrow. I firmly believe you should be sitting down with every single person at the end of every shift, and you should be asking them what they learned, what they saw, what they liked, what they didn't like, what questions they have, right? You should tell them what you saw in their performance or what you heard from the managers or the people they were training with. All of that, again, in an effort to help them come along, to make sure that they feel seen and supported. So change the way you hire, change the way you train, and man, think really deeply about how you develop that team. I really believe you should be sitting down with managers once a month as a monthly check-in, one-on-one, private, alone. I think you should be checking in with your hourly employees at least twice a year and really probably once a quarter. Now, it doesn't have to be a half an hour sit-down. It could be a 10-minute, 15-minute check-in. And you as the owner don't have to do this. The department heads can do this. But you're doing this with your managers, with your department heads, because you're meeting every month. And then you're giving them sort of the structure. You're showing them the value of those check-ins. And you're saying, and I want you to do that with your hourly employees every quarter. And this is the structure. This is how we're doing it. This is what we're looking for. We are trying to cultivate talent. Because I promise you, if employees feel seen and heard and supported, they will stay for a very, very long time. If they feel like they can continue to get what they need out of this job, out of this company, out of this place, there's no reason for them to go anywhere. That's how we continue to limit the churn. Are people still going to churn out? Absolutely. But we'll identify problems or issues or shifting priorities long before they bite us in the ass. The way we focus on churn is making sure to give people what they need. And yes, people need good pay. They need stability. They need security. Yes, they need support and benefits and things like that. But they also need a sense of purpose. They need a sense of growth, of direction. Showing them that you have a vision for the restaurant and for them and how they fit into the restaurant will help them identify a vision, create a vision for their own work and their own growth within the company. And guess what? Even if people decide to move on, if people find it's time to move on, you can still be part of that growth. You can still be part of their development because you undoubtedly will know people. And they say, hey, I'm really ready for a position that you just can't give me here. You should be able to say, great, let me help connect you to the people. You're right. I can't give you now what you need, but let me help you get placed where you need. That will help them immensely, and they will talk favorably about you, right? You wonder why so many great restaurateurs come from Danny Meyer's company, from their organization, Union Square Hospitality. His people have gone on to create tons and tons of places. It's because he does this. His organization does this very, very well. You can do this too. It's not hard. It requires a commitment to doing so. Yes, it requires that you stand at the front door and shake people's hand on their first day. And you or your manager sit down with them at the end of every shift. And you sit down with them once a month or once a quarter to ask them how they're doing and what they are they happy with what they're doing? And is there anything else they want? What are they looking to do next? What can I help you learn so that you can do that next? And can we create a plan of action for that? The way we limit churn is by caring. We show people we care by making this a priority, by putting this front and center. That's how we begin to fix this problem. And in the short term, it's going to save you money. In the long term, it's going to make you money. I promise. As always, I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your day to be here. One final reminder. Again, The P3 Mastermind is a group coaching program that I run. Currently, more than 150 people enrolled in the program. We've put over 100 through the program already. We meet 2 hours every single week, and the focus is on profitability. If you've got a busy restaurant that feeds a lot of people, but you struggle to make a consistent, predictable return to the bottom line every single month, if you are not taking out of it what you think you deserve to take out of it, then I want to chat with you. I want to show you how we work, and I want to see if you're a good fit. You do that by scheduling a call with me or someone from my team. Go to restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule, grab some time on the calendar, and let's get to know each other. Yes, that link is in the show notes. Yes, I appreciate all of you guys for being here. I will see you next time.